We get to start. Hello, and welcome to the 2019 Region 1 Convention of Overeaters Anonymous. My name is Tom. I'm from Portland. Hi. And I am a recovering compulsive overeater and sugar addict. If you are a member of the press or a non-member of OA, please remember that we are a 12-step program and respect our tradition of anonymity. Whom you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here. A reminder that this session is being recorded, and a podcast of this session will be available on the Region 1 website over the next few months. There will be an opportunity for open sharing and questions after the speaker, and your voice may or may not be picked up by the recorder. It does say, so the speaker will repeat the question before providing comment, but elsewhere it says, come speak into the microphone, you know, so I don't know how you'd like to manage that, but we'll just handle that as it comes. If you are looking for a sponsor, those available to sponsor are identified on their name tag. Look for someone who has what you want and ask how he or she is achieving it. And if you have not already done so, please silence your cell phone. Let's begin this session with a moment of silence to remember why we are here and to remember those inside and outside of these rooms who still suffer, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Let's see. I think that's right. So I'm happy to introduce Faye from Vancouver, who is our speaker on this topic.
Thank you, Tom. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. My name is Faye Douglas, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and food addict, and I'm from Vancouver, Canada, not Vancouver, Washington. So you'll hear my Canuckisms from time to time, but I think we speak the same language. Welcome to this workshop. I'm hoping that we can learn from each other, because I'm certainly not an expert on anything. But I have been in, I'll tell you a little bit about my program and myself. I've been in program for 16 years. I have released 150 pounds from my top weight. The bulk of that in the last 19 months, actually. I'm a slow learner. You only have to tell me something 10, 20 times and I catch right on. So it took me a while to learn what the surrender of step one really, really meant. And I was fortunate to I came into program, as they say, I was 300 pounds at plus, and I had vowed that I would never diet again, because every diet that I'd been on, and I'd been on hundreds of them, just made me heavier. I always lost weight. I'm really good at losing weight, but it finds me again within 6 weeks or 6 months, always, or it always did. For me, the miracle was coming into OA and releasing some weight, and then waiting and waiting and waiting for it to come back, and it didn't. Now, I had changed my eating pattern from eating from when I got up in the morning until I went to bed at night to eating three times a day with nothing in between. But that's really about all I did. But even that was enough to help me lose some weight right off the bat, because I obviously ate less. And I tried various food plans, and generally I lost weight, and I didn't put it back on again. But I was always fighting the food. I never got to happy, joyous, and free, which was a promise that I had. And I never quite got there. But I carried on, and I kept coming back. That's the one thing I did. I knew once I came in these doors and found out that I was really a compulsive eater, that I could never leave. I got that right off the bat. And I still say today, the only way you fail at this program is if you leave. because if you keep coming back and putting your bum in the chair, eventually it will get through to you, no matter how thick you think your head might be or how much brighter you think you are than the program. That was my problem. I knew better. But anyway, fortunately, I did a lot of service. That was the one thing. I called myself abstinent because I was doing this 301 and I was releasing weight, so of course I was abstinent. And when I did the other things that I did, eventually I gave up sugar and flour and you know, called myself more abstinent. Then I went to this outside program for a two-week residency where my meals were prepared without sugar, without fat, without flour of any sort, and they were weighed and measured for me. And I didn't die. I wasn't even hungry. But something started to happen, and as I detoxed from those substances, which I have later found out are my alcoholic foods, my mind got clearer, and I was eventually able to see what true surrender was, and that was not doing my best, but letting my higher power do it for me, because my best was never good enough. It never really got me to where I wanted to be, but I'm happy to say that 19 months later, I am happy, joyous, and free. The craziness that was in my head, those squirrels running around on the treadmill, they've gone to sleep. They're still there, and if I pick up, they'll wake up, and I'll be right back in the hell I was in before. But I know that as long as I remain abstinent, stick to my food plan, do the things that I do every day, and I do a lot. I report my food every night, and I do 10 steps and 11 steps, and I do prayers and service and all that. As long as I keep doing all that and don't pick up, I'll be fine. And for that, I'm very, very grateful. Now, what part did sponsorship play in that? Well, I got a sponsor right off the bat. I saw someone that I admired and thought that I would ask her if she would be my sponsor. And she said, well, yes, I'll be your temporary sponsor. And I thought, okay, that's fine. Well, she was my temporary sponsor for 14 years. And we're still best friends and help each other. But when I did the outside program, I got a different sponsor. And she's one of those what we call kick-ass sponsors, who says, you will do it, and you will do it. And I did it, and I'm doing it. And look what happened. It's amazing. Now, I was never that way. I was sponsoring all those years in between. Once I'd done the steps, then I was able to sponsor. And I took people the way I'd been taken. So, you know, pick your abstinence, decide what foods you're going to give up, and give them up, and we'll carry on. And people did, many of them did what I did, was they released weight, and they felt better. But what I realize now, in my own mind, and my own opinion, is that we have, it's just like the big book says, there are three types of alcoholics. Well, there are three types of compulsive eaters. And I'm the bottom, fall in the gutter, that kind of compulsive eater. I am, without a doubt, addicted to food. And I'm addicted to volume of food, which I didn't understand. But that's why I have to weigh and measure. I mean, there's nothing magic about weighing and measuring, except that with me, this much or that much could be 3 ounces. It just depends on what mood I'm in. And if I eat a 3-ounce portion that large, I will gain weight. But if I eat a 3-ounce portion that the scale tells me, I'll be fine. And I won't be hungry. But, you know, I think probably I came in as a compulsive eater, and because I didn't arrest my progress, I just kept on going to become a food addict. But whatever the cause, that's where I am now, and that's what I've got. Now, we had a really wonderful talk on sponsorship last night, and I don't even pretend to be able to carry on like that. That was amazing, and I learned a lot. But what I want to do is, first of all, I guess I'll say, how many people here are sponsors? Would you raise your hands? Ooh, most of you. And how many are looking for sponsors? Okay, so you saw all those people who raised their hands. So pay attention. And We have a lot of problems in our, I'm in the Sea to Sky Intergroup, which is basically in Vancouver, BC, that covers the whole Lower Mainland. So we have about 25 meetings. And one of the things that I hear, I'm part of the intergroup, and one of the things that I hear constantly is we don't have enough sponsors, we don't have enough sponsors. Now, we've got lots of recovering people, but why don't we have enough sponsors? And I think my opinion is that for a lot of people, they are afraid of it. They think that somehow they have to be this wise, all-knowing, perfect person before they can sponsor anyone. And that's just not true. What I was told was, as long as you've done two more steps than the person you're sponsoring, you're okay. I'm not sure I agree with that today, but it got me willing to sponsor. And that helped. What I learned about sponsoring is that the more I do it, the more help I get. It's really got very little to helping you, because I can't really help you. I can only share my experience, strength, and hope. And you have to take that and do with it what you will. But by doing that, I'm helping myself. I'm keeping myself abstinent. And of course, when I'm sponsoring someone and they succeed, it's like, woohoo! Of course, then it's all me. It's not the higher power. It's because I'm such a great sponsor. But I know that's not true, and that's just my ego playing games. I wasn't going to say this, but because I don't like to make excuses, but I really only found out yesterday that I was doing this workshop. So I didn't have a lot of time to prepare. So I'm going to just be winging it. And if anyone has anything that they would like me to talk about, I'm going to only take probably 20 minutes. And then if there are any questions, now we'll just kind of let it flow as it will. But so one of the things that I did manage to get together is I was at the assembly just before this started, and we got this wonderful assembly binder. And if any of you know who your delegates were at the assembly, get them to give you the binder, because the last about 50 pages, well, all of it's good, but the last 50 pages, yes?
On the Region 1 website for anyone to see.
Thank you so much. It's on the Region 1 website for anyone to see. The last, it's over 300 pages, so you won't want to print it. But the last 100 pages or so has all sorts of wonderful resources for everyone in program. And I managed to get copies of the one that I wanted for this session, so I'm just going to pick it up. And, these are pages 272 and 277. No, that's 277 and 270. Anyway, the page numbers are on them. So the first, what this is called, it's 12 Days of OA Guidelines for Temporary Sponsors. And if you're nervous about sponsoring, that's a great way to start as a temporary sponsor. Now, you won't necessarily get trapped into 14 years with the same person. I think that was a bit of an exception. But temporary sponsors are people who are taking newcomers through their first few weeks or whatever in OA. And this... I'm going to get these. Yes, would you please? There's a single page with the outline and then two pages of how to do it. And I just gave away all of it, so I'm going to have to wing that part. But thank you. And that's the other one. So, yeah. So the first page is the 12 Days of OA Guidelines for Temporary Sponsors. And there are questions on here. Who can be a temporary sponsor for the 12 days of OA? Any member of Overeaters Anonymous who has a desire to help another member go through the orientation can be a temporary sponsor in the 12 days of OA. Now, this I first heard of this at World Service because I think it was either the New Zealand or the Australian group brought it. And it's since been revised and whatever. And it's now, it was based on the newcomers packets that we had with all the pamphlets in it. But as you know, most of those have been distributed, and we now have a new wonderful pamphlet with it all in one. So this is based on that. So all you need to do with your newcomer is have two copies of the pamphlet, and then one of you has to have the list of questions. And that's it. And it's designed to be done in 12 days. I don't think very many people do that. But certainly if you're working at all with someone who's interested, you will be able to get through it within a month or so. And it takes them, there's 12 parts. There's a reading assignment from the pamphlet, and then there's a writing assignment from it. So a newcomer who's never sponsored before, if they have a telephone or an email service or another way of communicating with a sponsee, they're in. This is it. It's very simple, very straightforward, and if you can read and speak, you're not going to mess up, which is very comforting for people who are starting out. So anyway, I wanted everyone here to have a copy of that to take away with you, because I think it's an excellent resource. And I know that I have had sponsees who have gone up to someone, a newcomer at a meeting, and said, would you like a temporary sponsee or sponsor? I will do it. And they're people that have not done it before, and they're really, really happy with it. And most of the time, those newcomers come back because someone has actually taken a personal interest in them. So don't be afraid to do that. I mean, the worst that can happen is they can go, no, and, you know, okay, that's fine. That's where they are. So that's one of the things, and I would like, when we get to the Q&A, maybe if people have any questions about this, I would try to answer them. But as I say, if you lose it or forget about it or you want someone else to have it, it's on the web, on the Region 1 webpage. So that takes care of temporary sponsors. Now, as a sponsor, I have sponsored various ways. More recently, I take people through the big book, because that is what really changed my outlook on recovery and on surrender. That was what was used in the recovery program that I took, and it's becoming more. I've always liked the. Well, no, that's not true. I didn't like the big book when I first came in. It was written by all those old men all that time ago, and it was very God-centric, and I wasn't all that clear about God. And so at first I didn't like it. But of course, if you hang around in these rooms long enough, you keep hearing about people who love it and who will talk about it at every turn. And it starts to become a really big part of your life. And for me, that's what helped me get to where I am now. So I want to do that. Now, I'm still kind of experimenting with that, because a lot of people come in and it seems to be different opinions about this. Some people they're just kind of interested, and they really, a lot of us came in for the vanity, and what we want to do is lose weight. So they don't really want to hear about anything other than where's the food plan and what do I do. And there's a line of opinion that says, well, they're just not ready and don't worry about them. But I don't think that that's true, because that's where I was. And if I came in and someone had handed me a big book, or even wanted to do the steps through the big book and a food plan and said, you will do this, I would have just turned around and walked out. I almost did when I heard the God word mentioned. So for my own personal experience, I don't think I'd be here today if that was how I'd been approached. So I was approached very kindly, and yes, well, we'll talk about things, and we read through the OA 12 and 12, and we did some questions, and it was a very gentle pushing. Now, maybe if it had been a harder push, I would have done it sooner. I don't know, but that's not my experience. And so I think that, you know, Kate last night talked about the fly fisherman and getting your own momentum, and I think. But certainly for me, I have to do something that I can feel good about, that I can feel comfortable with. And so I am, but I am now sort of transitioning from a laissez-faire kind of sponsorship to a more, let's get into the meat of it sponsorship. And as a result, I have lost a few sponsees, but I've also gained some sponsees. And I find that I'm doing a lot of step work with a lot of people, and that's really, really helping me. So I guess the jury's out. Not, you know, I don't have any other words of wisdom on that particular issue of whether it should be big book or 12 and 12. What I have noticed, and it's really kind of surprised me is now that I'm more familiar with the Big Book and have really and really love it and, you know, translate it into my own language, when I read the 12 and 12, it's all there. It's all there. And I thought for years, you know, well, they're two separate documents and I don't see how it relates. But once you understand what the Big Book is really saying, the 12 and 12 is just saying it in a kinder, gentler way. And that was a big surprise and a gift for me to know that. And, you know, I think I'm going to, that kind of exhausts what I have to say right now about sponsorship. So what I'd like to hear, I guess, is questions. I'm sure there's more there, but as I stand here with my knees knocking, I can't really generate any questions in my mind, but I'm happy to take them. I guess I brought some other props, so I'll do that, and then we'll go to questions. And what I brought are some of the ways that I have taken people through the steps. This is a great buy right now because most groups are giving them away for free. This is the OA workbook that goes with the older version of the OA 12 and 12. And so if your intergroup has some of those hanging around, you may be able to get a really good deal on them. And this is the one that goes with the new 12 and 12. And those are also for sale from OA.org. And they're a very good way to go through it one by one, like with just one other person, because they're just questions and answers, and they do all the work. That's the other thing I've learned about sponsorship, and I got a recent really nice little tagline about it, is if you're doing all the work, you're the one who's learning. So if your sponsee is not doing the work, then it's not really working. Because we get better by doing the work, not by thinking about it, not by reading about it, not by talking about it, but by doing it. We have to take action. So if you find early on that they're not willing to take action, now that doesn't mean you snap your fingers and they jump, but that, you know, they can't make it this week, and then next week, well, they've got a birthday party, and then, you know, after that it's Christmas, and then you've got a sponsee who's not that willing to work, and you probably are not using your time wisely to work with them. The other one that's really, really good, I love this workbook, and I don't know if you've seen this one, it's a study guide for the 12 steps, and it's designed to take a whole group through, but I've done it one-on-one with people as well, so it's another easy way to do it. And then we have some really, OA has all sorts of really good resources if we make use of them. There are three pamphlets in particular that are very, very useful. This is the Where Do I Start? This is the newcomer packet. You've probably all seen this. And that first 12 days is based on the information in this. You'll see that it tells them to read page such and such and whatever. That's based on this. Then there's one called A Guide for Sponsors. And it's got everything you ever needed to know about sponsoring from OA's perspective. And at the back, there are 30 questions to ask newcomers. And so again, you know, you don't have to know all the answers. All you have to know is where to find the questions. And then the third one is Sponsoring Through the 12 Steps. And this is another excellent one. And I have used all of these. And it has, for each step, it has some questions. So you don't have to invent any of this stuff yourself. You just have to spend the time with someone to help them work their way through these things. These are all available from probably your intergroup, but certainly from OA.org and Region 1 as well?
It's either your
intergroup
or
OA.org. Okay. So those are the specific tools that I have. And I guess speaking of tools, you know, you do have to have a program that you're comfortable with, that you feel that you're doing your part, because if you're not doing it, then you're being hypocritical and people can see right through that. I think that's as much as I have right now. So are there questions, please? Yes. Yes.
So I realized, I think you mentioned before, that the microphone is there. You really appreciate people's questions stepping over to that microphone and speaking into it so that it becomes part of the recording. And if you don't want your name in the recording, then you don't tell us. And I'll feed over. That's what I'm very basic in the just to remember that.
Yeah, and if you're just too timid to go to the mic, if you yell out your question, I can repeat it into... Is it recorded off this mic, too? Yes. I can repeat it into here if it's not too long. So, but I encourage you to get up. We're not a scary bunch.
Thank you, Faye, very much. I'm Erin, compulsive overeater, sugar addict. Hi. I'm curious if what experience you have around sponsees that... I have a sponsee that calls me every day and has stopped calling. And so I am torn as to what to do, as to whether to call them. What I have done is waited a couple days, called them, waited a couple of days, given one more call, and then sort of just, you know, I can't want their recovery more than they do. But I don't know if that's the right thing, right? I just don't know. So I'm wondering what kind of experience you have around that. What you could offer.
That's what I do now, too. At first, I thought that they hated me, and it was all my fault. And then I talked to my sponsor about it and other people, and they all agree that if they're not willing to do a simple thing as contacting you, then there's nothing you can do for them. You let them go with love. And there's a wonderful prayer about that, and the white book for today. I love you, I bless you, I release you to your own indwelling spirit of God. And that you can do, and you can do that every day for them if you really want to, but you can't make them pick up the phone or pick up the text or whatever. And as I said, you have too much to give that it gets thrown on barren ground. So that's my point of view, and if anyone has another idea, we want to hear it.
Thank you, Faye. You used a phrase, kick-ass sponsor.
Yes.
Could you describe some of the characteristics of a kick-ass sponsor?
Well, I guess that depends on the sponsee, because there are people now who think that I'm a kick-ass sponsor, and I certainly don't think of myself that way. But what I meant when I came in, I would have run from that, is someone who... seems to be pushing me all the time and not hearing where I'm at. It has to be done this way, and if you don't do it this way, you're wrong. That's the negative side of it. Now, the kick-ass sponsors that I admire are the ones who are firm, who say, look, if there's something that comes up that they don't understand, they don't wing it, which is what I used to do. They say, I don't have direct experience with that, but I will check with my sponsor and I will get back to you. Or, sometimes my problem was never anorexia or bulimia, and I don't tend to sponsor those people. But if someone like that asks me, then I say, well, no, but I know so-and-so who would be a good sponsor to you. So I find someone who I hope has what they need. I used to think, that's the other thing, I used to think that if they used the big book, they were automatically a kick-ass sponsor. And that's the thing that I've come to know is not true at all. They've just found the solution in the most effective and cogent way.
Hi, I'm Krista. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. I just picked up this brochure, the Welcome Back for Members in Relapse, so I think they reformatted this packet. And I was just wondering if there's any additional sponsorship resources for working with members who are, coming back from relapse or any similar types of exercises like you just shared with us.
Okay, thank you. The one that I gave out is designed for people coming back from relapse as well, because it's taking people through the basics. And if they've relapsed, they need the basics. They've missed something in the basics. So I think that that's a resource that would be equally good for someone in relapse or anyone else. And that relapse pamphlet has some good suggestions as well. I think one of the most important things is, and it was said last night, relapse is not a catching disease. So don't shut them out. Don't not talk to them at meetings. You're not going to catch it by being with them. They need more support, not less when we're in relapse.
Hi, I'm Jenny, compulsive overeater.
So my question, I need to find a sponsor, and I am a new mom. I have a 2-year-old and a 9-month-old, and it just feels like I'm on the run all the time. And trying to find recovery with my eating disorder, I'm pulled because on one hand, I understand the importance of self-care, but my self-care has went out the window with these two little ones. And the idea of eating just 3 meals a day or, you know, having some stringent rules is overwhelming because I feel like I can't keep up possibly, and then I'll just throw my arms in the air and say, screw it, and I'm done now. So I would like to find someone. I know in the literature it says find someone who has what you want. I want to find someone who is a mom or, you know, even with little kids or older kids, but knows that struggle and that pull. But I also want to be surrendered enough to say, I don't want to dictate my program either. So I'm just wondering if it's okay to want a sponsor that has certain parameters that you're looking for, or should I be open to anybody that comes my way?
Well, I have, first of all, I think that the ideal thing is to find a sponsor that you can really relate to.
Okay.
And but I don't think that you necessarily, I have not been a mother, so I can't speak to that, except that I don't think you necessarily have to be in that particular situation if you can understand it. Like someone, even, you know, anyone older whose children have grown up, they've gone through that.
Right.
But, you know, I would not probably be able to identify with you as well as someone like that. And the other thing is, you know, we're not in charge. You
right.
pray for who you need, and that person will appear.
Okay.
Without fail.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
I'd just like to put a word in the spirit of the relapse pamphlet, if somebody wanders off the reservation and doesn't call, to the suggestion was to call them a couple of times and then let them go as a sponsee. However, if they have left the rooms entirely, it's very helpful for people who are in relapse to know that you care. Don't just drop them like a hot potato because they're out there. They need to know you care. I have, for instance, a sponsee who's wandered out there. Every month and a half or two, I send her a text just to let her know that I'm thinking about her. I haven't heard back, but I know that I have reached out and said, hi, I'm thinking about you and I care. So just because you're not sponsoring them, don't drop them.
Thank you. That's excellent advice. And we can do that whether we're sponsors or not. You know how many of us go, well, I wonder what happened to her. Well, call her and ask her. You know, you don't have to have all the answers. You just have to have enough caring to do it.
I have a question. It's not something that I've run into, but now I'm wondering about for people who are sponsoring and if they relapse, how, like, I guess the best way for handling that. It's I don't know if it's something I've seen, as I don't know what goes on with other relationships, but I'm assuming it happens. Like, if you have a sponsee who relapsed, they're probably sponsoring someone else. Like, how is that handled?
Generally, we don't encourage people who are in relapse to sponsor because they need to put all their energies into getting themselves back on the program. But no one goes to anyone and says, you can't sponsor. So it's up to the person that's doing it to realize that they are not in a position. And I know many people who've done that, who've had to say, well, the worst thing about being in relapse was I had to let go of my sponsees. But you're not doing them any favors because you can't share what you don't have. And if all you're sharing is relapse, that's not generally helpful. That's my opinion. Okay. Well, then I think we'd like sharing. I would certainly love to hear more from people who are sponsoring and some of their experiences. And if you differ with me, I'd really like to hear about it because that's how I learn. So, that mic is now open for sharing. And as was said, you don't have to use your name, or you can use a pseudonym or whatever, but speak into the mic so that it's got caught on the recording. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm compulsive overeater.
Hi, Sarah.
Thanks for your share. I'm sorry I didn't hear the beginning. Recent experience, I've been in OA for 10 years, and it was a really easy, I was struck abstinent, and it was a really easy abstinence, and I did sponsor, and I went into relapse, and when I relapsed, I let go, and I am out of relapse, and I haven't gotten up my gumption to sponsor again. I feel like a phony, even though I'm not. I've gotten much more into perfectionism of abstinence or something. So just wanted to share that. Don't relapse.
I'm Tom, compulsive overeater and sugar addict.
Hey, and Tom.
I'm not a sponsor, but I have a kick-ass sponsor. And I wanted to say something about that, that it was very important for me to find such a person because it's so easy for me to slide. I'm an expert at sounding good. And so what made her, you know, that kick-ass sponsor was basically she laid down a couple of requirements which were not like getting stuff done. It was, I need to hear from you every day. Okay. And I was already in a food report group. You got to keep that up every day. And that, and basically, if I stopped those two things, then we would have to talk about whether we're going to continue together. And then the rest of it sort of fell into place for me. It was just, if there had been too much direction, I probably would have rebelled because that's what I do. But I found that firmness without being overbearing was just right for me. Yeah, so thanks.
I'm Marie, compulsive reader and sugar addict. I wanted to share my experience, as a lot of you are sponsors. I came into program kicking and screaming, not willing, but at the same time realizing that this was where I belonged. And I found somebody right away that I could really identify with. Her before was exactly me. Her after was exactly where I wanted to be. The problem was is in how she did it. I knew better. I wasn't going to do it like she did. But she never gave up on me. So she said, contact me every day. And I would for a while, and then I wouldn't. And she would send me a couple little nudges, haven't heard from you, thinking about you. And sometimes the span of time would be 2 or 3 months that I wouldn't contact her. And then my HP would give me a shot, and I would get back on to going to OA and doing the thing, and I would say, are you still willing to help me? And she would say, well, of course. And this went on for 3.5 years, and she never once said bye-bye, or you're not willing, or anything. She let me figure it out. And she's still my sponsor, and I've now been abstinent for 14 months, and I've got it together. And, or at least for today. And I think I'm the same way as Tom. If she had said, you have to do this, this way, out of, you know, that would have been the straw that pushed me over the edge. So sometimes people just need to do their own, get their own way, and you just need to hang out and wait for them to come back. Thanks.
Hi, I'd like to advocate a little bit for flexibility. I'm not by nature a flexible person. And I had generally sponsored out of the big book because it was working the steps that way that relieved me of the compulsion and the obsession. But I recently got a new sponsee through the virtual sponsorship arm of Region 1. If you need a sponsor or you're willing to sponsor, I highly recommend the virtual sponsorship. Excellent, especially if you have outlying meetings and you don't have a lot of people there. Anyway, This woman came to me, and she'd already gone through the big book method with another sponsor. And she was looking for going through the steps in more depth at a slower pace. And so we chose the OA workbook, second edition. And we would, no, the second edition workbook. And I would say, we would pick like five or six of the questions and work on one of those a day. And when we got to the fourth step, I love it. They have one thing. Here's my fourth step, and it's about six lines. But we went through the questions in the second edition of the OA 12 and 12, and they are excellent. I would have her pick. I'd say, read this section, pick out six that speak to you, and we'll go through those. And it has been an excellent process. I have learned a lot. So perhaps you have somebody that's gone through the steps one way, can go through them another way, and you get a greater depth. So.
Yes, and I'll just, in the meantime, give out a shout-out again for that virtual sponsorship. That's a thing that Region 1 has spawned. It's on the website, and people can sign up to be virtual sponsors and sign up for a virtual sponsorship. I'm not doing one from that particular thing, but I have a sponsee in California, and I'm in Vancouver, and it's going great. Yep.
My name is Alan, and I am a compulsive overeater. I was struggling a few years back, and the retreat that North Cascades puts up on Whidbey Island had a speaker, and she was what I would call a kick-ass big book thumper. And I asked her, I says, can you sponsor me through the fourth step? And she says, yeah, because I only sponsor between the fourth and fifth step. So I would call her every night at 9 o'clock. She lived in New Jersey, and I called her at 9 o'clock our time because it was her choice. And we worked through the fourth step. Then it came time for the fifth step. And she says, I'm going to give you a week to work on that. I called her up when I was done. And I gave her my fourth step. Her response was, you missed the point. I'm going to give you an hour, and I will call you, and you will redo it in an hour. And with that time constraint, it's amazing how much I learned about myself. So I like the kick-ass sponsor.
Hi, I'm Lynn, a compulsive overeater. I worked with my sponsor through the steps and the traditions and the concepts, and then she told me it's time to sponsor, and that is, I am not kick-ass at all. So anyway, what really helped me was to say that I would be a temporary sponsor and go through the first three steps with somebody, and that wasn't too scary. And she's asked me the other day if I might continue to be her sponsor, and I'm thinking about it. So, like you said, your temporary sponsor worked with you for 14 years, so that's cool. Anyway, I just want to advocate that if you're really scared of it, like I still am, that's a good way to do it. It's just volunteer to temporary sponsor.
Hi, I'm Sharva, compulsive overeater, sugar addict. And I've sponsored two people through the 12-day sponsorship. And out of that, they became my sponsees on a regular basis. So if you are afraid in any way to sponsor someone, do the 12-day. It's so easy. It's so easy to do, and it gives you more than you're giving. You'd be so surprised at how you feel when you're helping these people move forward in a program that is, as we all know, not easy to do. It's not easy for us to come. It's not easy for us to share. But the 12-day is written right out for you. There's nothing you can do that's wrong. And all you have to do is call them each day and read what's on the papers. It works beautifully. And both my sponsees are diverse. One is older, one is younger, one has children, one doesn't. They weren't alike in any way, but it didn't matter. So if you're holding back, don't do it. Get that 12-day sponsorship paper out in front of you and pick up the phone. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Okay. This will be our last person.
I stumbled on an approach that seems to be working well. And what it was is you're not supposed to say no when someone asks you to sponsor. But I feel that sponsees deserve a certain amount of time and attention, and I only have so much. So what I started to say in meetings, and it isn't easy with a flipper tooth either, I'm a starter sponsor. So, and I really love it because one newcomer came up to me afterwards and said, so you're just learning? And I thought, well, yeah, always. But what it is that the newcomers feel really comfortable asking me to start or sponsor them because they know they're not stuck with me. And then I bug the shit out of them. I just bug the heck out of them to get a sponsor. But it transitions them to the idea. So starter sponsor seems to be a way less, and it's like the 12 days, the same approach. It's a way less threatening approach to getting yourself a sponsor. So I stumbled and I'm going with it.
Thanks so much. Okay, thank you. You've filled up the time. I love it. So it's time to close now. Thank you everyone for your participation. Please remember our anonymity clause. Take the stories but leave the names behind. Keep coming back, abstinent or not. Please take a few minutes to jot down any comments or suggestions you may have about this session and how we might improve our next convention. An online survey will be available for your feedback at the end of the convention. For all who wish to, please join me in our closing prayer. How about the step 3 prayer?